Good evening, squirrels.
It's squirrel time.
So I need to get this out like right away. Actually, there's a couple of things I need to get out right away.
You airing your grievances?
Well, there's two. One is kind of like a show notey kind of thing. MDev, call your agent. I want to get MDev on because he went to Boomer Shoot recently, and I think it was his first time to go to Boomer Shoot. So
did you contact him or no?
I have not.
We're aligning the MDev signal.
That's right.
Well, you have his thing. You can text him or whatever.
Well, I know, but I didn't do it today because I was busy with work and other shit. So
all right.
I'm telling him because I know he'll hear this. That
I don't know. Will he? Does he listen to the show?
Sometimes. Anyway, we want to get MDev on to talk about the Boomer Shoot experience.
None of us have been to Boomer Shoot, correct?
I am.
Jay?
Alan's been.
Oh, you, Alan was. Yeah, that one time you went. Yeah,
a long time ago. It was like 2000.
Long time ago.
Mm-hmm. I would love to go, but it's one of those things that, like, logistically.
Yeah.
Because there's so much gear, there's no way I'd fly.
Right. It is, I think that's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to bring a canopy, and, you know, in addition to a couple of rifles, a bunch of ammo.
Yeah.
A shooting mat. I mean, all that stuff. You've got to bring a canopy and a table or a bench, whatever.
You have to.
No, but it can greatly accentuate the experience.
Sure. I flew, and it wasn't that awful. Of course, you got to fly. I mean, the closest town is Seattle or Spokane, yeah. How do you pronounce it?
I'd want to drive it.
You got to cross like from one state to another to get there. It's not.
I have to cross many states.
No,
get
I'm
there,
just Alan. Saying. Even if you fly there, you still have to cross. It's still not. You're not flying to Boomer Shoot. You're flying to a state near Boomer Shoot and then driving.
Now, if I had my own plane.
There you go.
Mm.
Ask Wayne if you could borrow the company jet.
9 Sprecken, 9 Sprecken.
The other thing I wanted to, I was just laughing at this because I'm 12. The U.S.
You're still laughing about it.
I can't even say it because it makes me laugh.
What the hell?
So you know, you may not know, the name of the Vietnamese currency is the dong, right?
Oh, no. Are you going to laugh about the dong?
The U.S. Treasury is about to accuse Vietnam of manipulating its dong.
Oh, I thought it was Korea that I thought.
Good night, folks.
Done. That's it.
Geez.
Shut up, brain, or I'll stab you with a Q-tip. Yes.
The headlines write themselves.
Oh, boy.
Like a New York Post headline right there, actually.
Was that like a headline, though? Did they put that, you know?
Yes, actually, that was a headline. U.S. to accuse Vietnam of manipulating its dong.
No, Yankee, my wanky. Yes, we're doing 16 Candles references tonight, kid.
That was a great movie.
Well, yeah. It was. I'm partial to Pretty in Pink instead of. No, that was Pretty in Pink. What am I thinking? 16 Candles. No, 16 Candles. That was 16 Candles. I'm partial to Pretty in Pink. They're so close because it's like the same girl and the same,
Yeah, I get them confused. It's
like One Crazy Summer and Better Off Dead. It's the same.
Yeah. People are probably like, what the hell are they talking about?
Like,
Long Duck Dong.
Yes, the donger. That's
the donger.
That's lying, folks.
That's 16 Candles. Go watch it if you haven't. It's classic 80s.
That's a John Heap.
Which one has James Spader in it?
That's pretty.
Pretty in Pink.
Okay. It's not 16 Candles. 16 Candles has Anthony Michael Hall.
No, wait. I was thinking of Secretary.
Totally different genre.
Nobody has Ed Wood Allen's back there. James Spader was also in White Palace.
So. Is this another movie episode of The Score Report?
We've drifted.
Actually, it's. I wanted to. And I apologize if this turns you off, but we have to talk about Game of Thrones.
We don't have to.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Yeah. There's only two episodes left.
So, you know? Spoiler alert. Alan is going to give spoilers. I'm probably going to give spoilers too.
Well, I was.
And it's Thursday, by the way. If you haven't seen it by then, it's your own damn fault.
I don't really want to talk about last week's episode so much as the next two.
Yeah, like what are your predictions for
because
the next two?
Because I want two predictions. One is, what about the dragons?
Yay, dragons.
And two, who is going to kill Cersei?
Yeah, there's like an all-star team headed that way.
It's like a bunch of independent type assassins are all converging on King's Landing to basically take out Cersei. And who's going to do it?
But don't discount the idea that Cersei may still win.
Well, yeah, it is Game of Thrones. So
it is Game of Thrones.
So everybody.
And up until this point, she has played Game of Thrones the best out of anyone.
She has.
Yeah.
She has. So
what do you think about the dragons, Brita?
Well, I can't claim this theory. I can't claim it as my own because I saw it on the internet and I was like, oh, it's so feasible and it would work perfectly. My theory, or it's not my theory, it's this theory, fan theory I saw on the internet, that there are more dragons. For two reasons. Number one, there was like season 5 or season 6 or whatever. Drogon, who was the last dragon left, spoiler, sorry, Drogon disappeared. And Daenerys had no idea where she was, or he or she, you know, because you don't know the sex of a dragon. How can you tell? Like, you lift up their tail and look, like, no.
There's a whole anime devoted to it. They're all male. Dragon Ball Z.
Oh.
Oh, Jay.
But, so during the season, Drogon disappeared. And the theory is that Drogon went off somewhere and laid eggs.
Ah, I thought he found a lady dragon.
Maybe, that would be great. But maybe one of Drogon's siblings, quote unquote, you know, was not actually a sibling. Because there's no telling that those three eggs came from the same dragon, right?
And honestly, it wouldn't be the first time a brother and sister hooked up on the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the whole show, right? Yeah. Anyway, so that's the theory I read, and I thought, oh my God. Like, this coming up episode, you know, there's going to be more dragons. Fingers crossed, because really, I love the dragons. I just watch for the dragons. I love them.
There's also that intro thing, right, where the little
An intro thing where they show that, you know, that metal like astro glow or whatever it's called. It's the metal thing in the intro, and the fans have noted that in previous seasons, little figures that showed up on this metal thing in the intro kind of like gave hints as to what will happen in the season. And people have noticed that in the intro, one of the things that shows up on the metal ring thing is a big dragon with three little dragons. And everybody in the beginning had been saying, oh, that big dragon represents Daenerys and the three little dragons were her, you know, her baby dragons. But she didn't have three dragons this season.
Right. Yeah.
So I can't wait for next episode when the baby dragons show up because dragons.
Yeah.
Except I'm all about the dragons.
They won't be babies, though, unless they do like a
flashback. Well, they'll probably be like teenagers, maybe.
They could do like a flashback thing, right? Where it's like, oh, look, dragons, and then here's the
Yeah. Because they do that. That'd be cool. It's at this point, like, I've noticed in this season they've showed a lot of dragons.
Well, yeah.
Like every episode there's lots of dragon action. And I think at this point, like, you know, a little bit of backstory about the dragons and, like, you know, more about the dragons would kind of be like something the fans would really like. So,
well, it also comes,
we shall see.
It also comes kind of full circle because, you know, they started off the series talking about the dragons and how the dragons, they use the dragons to make the throne in the first place. And
mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. So, you know, it kind of.
And I'm sorry, but the death of the dragon last episode was just, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh, horrible.
Daenerys had tactical acumen of a friggin' sweet potato.
Daenerys is a horrible, horrible tactician.
We've seen these giant harpoons before. Let's fly directly into them.
Yeah.
And act surprised when one of the dragons gets hit. Sorry, that's a spoiler.
Yeah, you can't like recon from altitude where they can't do anything, right? And
or at night or behind or
right.
I mean they've fixed placements on the castle walls. Right. You know what mm-hmm. the problem placements is? They're fixed.
Yeah.
Like you said, Alan, you just go up way up high,
right,
and come down in the middle of them. Surprise. You jump on the Arya jumped on the Night King.
That's right. Now, speaking of Arya, so she and the Hound are headed south, presumably to kill Cersei.
I want that to be its own show. I want Arya.
Yeah, that'd
like
be cool.
Oh, it could be like a buddy road movie.
Just riding the Seven Kingdoms, killing people that need killing.
Arya and the Hound, like BJ and the Bear,
like. It's Arya and the Hound. It's Arya. Is a psycho. The other's insane.
That would be a great spinoff show. Arya and the Hound.
Just travel around killing people that need killing.
Yeah.
They could be like the A-Team. Dun, dun, dun. We're just hitting on all the... We're pulling on all of your heartstrings, folks.
Well, you also got Jaime Lannister who saddled up and heading south.
Mm-hmm.
Despite Brienne of Tarth's tearful pleading, that was so heartbreaking.
It was.
He'll be back.
Will he?
No.
Or will Cersei kill him?
No.
No, someone else will kill him, and Arya will use his face.
Oh, Jay.
Ooh.
Damn.
Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned.
Yeah.
There's, like I said, two episodes left. So
yeah,
it's really interesting how this has really like captured everybody.
I also have a theory on how it's going to end.
Ooh, okay.
We're going to have the two warring factions, Daenerys and Cersei. They're going to be lined up facing each other. It's going to be a very tense situation, and then all of a sudden, London police vans will show up and arrest them all. What's that? You can put an eye out with that.
Good segue, Jay.
Oh, my God.
That's an excellent segue.
I think. With a little tip of the hat to Monty Python and the Holy Grail, I might add.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird ending.
Yes. or I suppose they could... Yeah, somebody could wake up and it's a dream. A la... Dallas.
Yeah. Was that Dallas? Yeah.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Or, if you will, Bob Newhart.
Was that a dream too?
Yes.
Like the whole show.
He wakes up next to Suzanne Plachette at the very end. He's like, I had the weirdest dream.
That's so rude.
Yeah. Or they could all walk away and not say anything like the Sopranos. Like, the hell happened there? What is this?
I never watched the Sopranos.
Sorry, my weather alert
keeps going off.
Turn it off.
Yes, Alan may be struck by lightning at any time, folks. So just so you know.
or flooded out of his house.
That too.
No, that's pretty unlikely. We, they're just, you know, all these, you know, it's Texas and it's spring, so we have thunderstorms and tornado warnings and all that fun stuff, as one does.
It's a, well, it's not a tornado.
Yeah, in some parts of the state, it is.
Like an acorn?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard anybody call it a nader, so I don't know.
Nader.
That dang nader came through and wiped out my trailer home.
I'm happier than a tornado in a trailer park. Goodness. All right, so.
We do have topics, aside from Game of Thrones.
Besides, yes. The obligatory movie and 80s TV show references.
I don't know. People enjoy that.
We're not above appealing to nostalgia, folks. I'm just saying.
We got a comment in the group about the last week's show.
About what they were yelling at you?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I was kind of surprised you didn't remember the Doctor Who girl.
You know why? Because that was
in the fur bikini.
Yeah, I know. But that was, I know everybody
so
likes.
I never watched that era of Doctor Who, so I don't know.
I watched some of it, but honest to God, the stupid dog just used to piss me off because it was so idiotic and lame. The robot K-9 was just the most just the dumbest thing.
It was like the robot in Battlestar Galactica. No, Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, yeah. That stupid thing.
Like, just get rid of, you know, it's like the great Gazoo on the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Like, why?
It was just stupid. It's like, you know, we got to have something stupid the kids will like. You know, it's like.
Ugh. As an Oliver on the Brady Bunch. Oh, the kids got old and ugly. Quick, bring in a young kid.
Yeah.
Cousin Oliver, why is he here? We have no clue. He just showed up one day.
Damn writers.
Scrappy-Doo. That's all I have to say.
Oh, yeah. No, Scrappy.
Scrappy-Doo.
Puppy power, yeah. Oh, wow.
That ruins Scooby-Doo.
Just there's almost no instance where bringing in a new character helps a show. Only one I can think of where it didn't ruin the show, and it was such a minor character, is when they replaced Steve on Married with Children. And that's getting real in the weeds.
Who's Steve and Married with
Children? Steve was the husband of Marcy, the next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Oh.
And because they replaced him with Ted McGinley, who was like, Ted McGinley was everywhere in the 80s for about 3 weeks.
Was he the guy with the hair?
Yes. He was the alpha jock in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was also the replacement Richie Cunningham in Happy Days.
That's weird.
When Ron Howard decided he was gonna grow up and be his own man and do directing, and they wanted to keep the show. The actual honest to God jumping the shark, they brought in Ted McGinley.
Huh.
And he was like everywhere for about 20 minutes.
I thought Don Knotts really improved Three's Company.
Don Knotts. Yes. Because the Ropers. But getting rid of Suzanne Summers. Nope. Not so much.
No, that was, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the whole dynamic and, you know,
yep.
The two Darrens on Bewitched, you know, they just changed. The two Beckys on Roseanne.
Mm, yeah, that was weird.
It's like, well,
what happened to Becky?
Going back to Happy Days. Whatever that. What the hell happened to Chuck?
Who?
Yeah, Chuck was the older brother.
Oh yeah,
it was just like. The first season they mentioned Chuck. He never saw, I think he played basketball. You know, there was like one shot of him going to a basketball game, and then he disappeared forever.
Well, happy days. Happy days never recovered from little Opie Cunningham leaving.
Oh yeah. Happy days, Chuck. Yeah. Oh, Google. There's a whole wicked Richie's older brother, Chuck.
What happened? Yeah. He went to work at a Buy More in Burbank.
Chuck Cunningham, played by Gavin O'Hurley. Wow, they found somebody who is even more white than Opie. Like Howard. Ron Howard.
Well, apparently Chuck Cunningham got disowned because the dad comments at the end of season 11 that he is proud of his two kids.
Yeah.
Poor Chuck. Something went wrong.
He was unpersoned. He must have refused to sleep with the director or something.
Or maybe he went on a, you know, an anti feminist tirade or something. He got unpersoned.
Yeah, who knows?
Speaking about unpersoned, no, yes. I'm just kidding. I have nothing.
Actually, we do have something. Facebook.
No, we do.
Facebook unpersoned a bunch of people this.
Yeah, last week. But I was going to bring up before we go on.
Yeah.
Our favorite girl.
The illustrious AOC.
AOC, and everybody's going on and on about her. What was it? A tweet or a Facebook or a whatever the fuck it was.
Bless her heart.
She posted a video on one of her social medias. I don't know. She didn't know what a garbage disposal was. And this is like immediately following her being like completely shook, air quotes.
Yeah.
Finding out that food grows out of dirt.
Yes. You can take dirt and make food.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actual things you can eat grow out of the dirt.
I think she was pretending her ignorance of garbage disposal.
Yeah,
a political point.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't because I looked into it and it turns out that New York City garbage disposals were banned for the majority of AOC's life. And so no apartments, especially older apartments and older places and, you know, not expensive apartments, didn't have them. And so if you live in New York City your entire life, like she does or had, she never experienced having to deal with a garbage disposal. Like it was not a thing.
Yeah.
So one day she's in her fancy Washington, D.C. apartment and she flips a switch near her sink. And oh my God, it makes the garbage disposal sound. And yeah. She's probably like, what the hell? Like, what is going on? And I can kind of understand that.
I'll stand up here because if you turn on the garbage disposal and there's nothing in it, it sounds like the world is coming to an end.
Yes.
It is not a pleasant sound.
No, it's not. And so, you know, she probably made a big deal out of it, you know, because social media and, you know, whatever. But it's pretty likely that she's never had a garbage disposal before and has never had to kind of interact with one.
I got my first garbage disposal when I moved into the house down here.
Really?
I was in my early 40s. Well, we're on septic when I lived in Mass.
Okay, yeah.
Septic systems and garbage disposals don't play well together.
Right.
So, you know, I guess you can get them to play well together because plenty of people have chimed in to say, well, I have one, but we didn't. I didn't have one growing up. I didn't have one in my house. It wasn't until I moved down here when we were on town sewer. We had a garbage disposal, but I knew what one was.
Right.
You know what else I've never had?
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a house with a bidet. I know bidets exist.
Right.
You know, I've never had a walk-in humidor. I know they exist.
Right.
You don't have to actually own something to know it exists.
And really?
You wouldn't be shocked.
Wait, no. Like, really? You don't have to own something to know it exists. Is that correct?
I know it's amazing, but
is that true, Alan?
Alan owns all the things.
I know where you're going with this.
I'm going there.
Oh, what? I didn't do it. It's on me.
She's talking about the snow brush incident.
And how old were you, Alan, when you first encountered a snow brush?
It was
today years
somewhere in my 40s, I think.
In your 40s. Why don't you go ahead and tell the story?
You'd probably tell it better than I would.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, it's been a while and my memory's fading. So,
because you're old. Go on.
No, I think it was Philadelphia. I was working on a project up there, and you know, I'd fly in and get a rental car and drive, and you know, I'd keep the same car for a week or two and then fly back home. And so they got this, I go in the rental car, and you know, the first thing you do with a rental car, you know, if you've ever done, you know, rental cars, is you look it over and make sure that, you know, there's nothing wrong with it that they can blame you for and all that kind of stuff. And so, I'm putting my suitcase in, I'm checking out the car, and I see this little miniature broom in the back of the car. And I turned to the guy with the clipboard and I said, "Hey, somebody left their broom thingy in here."
That's hysterical.
And the guy looked at me and he goes, "Yeah, that's a snow brush. We put them in all the cars."
And Alan said, "What's a snow brush?"
That's exactly what I said. I said, "What's that for?"
He turned into Dr. Nick. What the hell is that?
So,
because I've never lived anywhere where there was enough snow that you had to worry about. Now, I ice and ice scrapers I'm intimately familiar with because, you know, even in Houston, we occasionally get ice on windshield. But, and I lived in Dallas for a long time and we always got ice in Dallas. But the whole concept of enough snow that you needed an implement to remove it from your car was unknown to me.
Were you shook, Alan?
I don't know if I would call myself a shook, but it was definitely I didn't know what it was and didn't know, you know, what you'd use it for and or why.
I'm giving AOC the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah, but I mean I don't know. You know, garbage disposals have been in pop culture for a long time. I mean, Aunt Bee won one at a game show, for God's sakes. And, you know, And little Opie Cunningham stuffed ham down it because it was fun. So, you know.
Oh, boy.
So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, again, I suspect that she knew what it was and this was just.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. But she did. It was pretty apparent. She didn't know exactly how to use it. Like, she was like, well, what do I do with this thing?
Right.
And she actually asked, is it better to use, like she was asking kind of like from the green deal kind of point of view, is it better to use one or not?
Yeah.
And I don't think it matters.
I think.
Does it? I don't know.
Absolutely right there that she thought she would use it to score political points.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. You know, use this as an environmentally friendly and, you know, it's like actually nitwit. Yeah. Because it's just taking organic stuff and breaking it down further. So, yeah, you're fine.
Also, she tried to make it like this, like, you know, I'm a poor working class girl and I've never.
Yeah.
You know, this is the first time I've seen this. She even used the word bougie. Bougie apartment, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Like, and. I think that was a level of false classism that didn't play well. Well, it probably played well with her, you know, sycophants, but.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I don't have a garbage disposal. I grew up with one, but I moved into a house without one, and I've just decided not to have one because it's just like, it's not a huge deal for me.
Yeah. It's too.
I can go either way on them. You know, I don't. You know, most of the time I just, like, if I got like a plate of leftovers or something that I'm not going to put in the fridge and eat later, I just bump it in the trash and then I, you know, do the dishes and stuff. But I don't know.
I've read articles like how do you get rid of like food if you don't have a garbage disposal? And I've read things like, well, if you have like half a jar of salsa that's like you're not really sure about it, go ahead and flush it down the toilet. Dump it in the toilet. I mean, what's the difference?
You know, you can also put it down the sink. I mean, the sink. You know, if you don't have a garbage disposal, you have a sink with a strainer.
If it's chunky salsa,
if it fits through the hole, it'll fit through the
through
the drain. You can sit if it's
chunky salsa. You know.
Salsa is eminently biodegradable.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It goes in your compost.
Yeah, you can.
Compost. Oh, you can. Yeah.
You can landfill it. It really does. It'll go away.
Yeah. Actually, filling up landfills with food is probably the least bad thing you can put in there.
Exactly. It's the most easily recycled good, you know.
And the critters eat it.
Right. Right. You feed critters. Raccoons got to eat, same as worms.
That's right. Okay.
I'm trying to imagine raccoons eating spicy salsa.
I bet they would.
You think? I don't know.
They'd be pissed you didn't give them chips with it, but, you know.
God damn it, where's my chips?
I could just see little raccoons sitting around with their little chip and their little paw.
Worst restaurant ever. Did not get chips with my salsa. 0 out of 10 would not go back. They're way garbage.
Leave a 1 cent tip and a note on the thing.
Right. I demand better service.
Uh-oh.
There's a call. Or Alan's getting a fax. We can't discount that Alan.
It's the weather alert.
Yes. Alan is about to die. Blue Warrior needs food.
It's all this flash flood warning and stuff because, you know, Houston.
I've never met anyone as obsessed with weather as Alan. I'm not exaggerating.
Well, you know what? If you own a sailboat, you become.
You don't own a sailboat.
I know, but I did for a long time, and you become obsessed with weather because weather.
No. Do not know matters. That. Do you know what else though? Motorcycles is the same way.
Yeah. Or you check a convertible or anything like that. You always check the weather, see what you're gonna get. Oh, thunder! No. All right, hang on.
Harley out. It's like,
I gotta go open the bedroom door so the cat can crawl into the bed. Be right back.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
You know what, Jay? How's your spring going?
There is something in the air down here that I am like horribly allergic to.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what it is. I cannot figure it out.
We're still kind of waiting on spring. Like, it's we get up to maybe the 70s one day, and then it falls back down in the 50s and 60s again. It's like we just can't get warm. Winter is coming.
We're firmly in spring and edging on summer.
Oh, that's nice.
Actually, we're getting our air conditioner fixed.
Oh.
Yay.
Well, we're getting it more or less replaced, but.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah, it's 15 years old. I mean, it doesn't always any. You know, you're it's the one that's original to the house, and you know, it's
15 years for an original. That's good.
Usually
they're good for 10 years and then they die.
The cheap contractor grade. So, but that's it comes on. Of course, we're still operating with no refrigerator. So.
Oh, you're still waiting to get your fridge fixed?
Yeah, they're going to be here tomorrow. Oh, so that's the good part. But it's been 2 weeks, and it's like not having a refrigerator is driving me absolutely nuts.
Hmm. What do? You eat out every night or like what? No, takeout? Yeah.
We actually have a mini fridge. So
good. Okay.
We've had a stand-up freezer for forever. So like the frozen stuff went into the big freezer in the basement. It's like the furthest point from the kitchen possible. Great. You know, I might as well have it like down the street. So, but it's better than losing the food. And then,
right.
But it's just like, I got to run to the store like every other day to buy milk. Because I have two teenage children, one of which is 18 and 1 month away from shipping out to the Navy.
Oh, gosh.
So. Although I am looking forward to the reduced food bill. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm going to be able to buy Alan's sailboat.
With the just saving. From the food. Man. I can't believe he's that old. That's amazing.
Tell me about it. He's 18. He's like a grown-up.
Yeah, my daughter's graduating high school this month.
Yep. He graduates on the 4th. He ships out the 24th.
Of June? Or May?
Yeah.
Oh, June. Wow. June. Well.
Yep. So, that's happening. We can all sing in the Navy. Yeah.
Yeah. They're,
but, so once we get the refrigerator at least is under warranty. So that's, we're not out anything. It's just annoying.
Right.
But the air conditioner is not under warranty. And it just makes me cry. But by the same token, it'll be better and we will not have to fuss with it anymore.
Well, I have news.
Okay.
Your new, soon to be new favorite TV show.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Aria and the
I hear it in the Pinky and the Brain song now. I can't.
Aria and the Hound.
Oh man.
It's gonna be singing it now.
Flora, there's going to be a true crime TV show on the Oxygen Network.
Okay. The
Florida Man, true crime TV series.
Oh no! Yes. Stop! Oh my God!
Now all I can hear is They Might Be Giants. Florida Man.
When the murder is so bizarre, the motive so far-fetched, and the crime so outlandish, it sounds like something from a Hollywood screenplay. There's a good chance it was actually committed by a Florida man.
Oh my gosh.
Or a woman that had a pocket gator.
Oh, I heard she had an alligator down her pants. Yeah. I heard about that. Oh my. I guess her and her boyfriend were like collecting like turtles and stuff, probably to sell as pets or whatever. And yeah, they said, "Ma'am, do you have anything else on you?" Because they found like 14 or 40 or some crazy number of turtles in her backpack. And they said, "Do you have anything else on you?" And she pulled an alligator out of her pants. Granted, a small alligator, but still.
It was appendix carrying an alligator.
Oh my God.
Finally know the answer to the question. Is that an alligator in your pants? Are you just happy to see me? No, it's an alligator in my pants.
Oh my gosh. Crazy. That poor alligator. What did he ever do to deserve that?
First time the alligator wasn't the worst smell.
But
Oh man.
Yeah, that's how we roll.
Speaking of appendix carry, can we talk about this issue, this article I saw?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was really an interesting take. Because, being in the gun blogs, gun community for God knows how long, we've all heard the, like, the 45 versus 19,
Yes.
Versus 9mm and Glock versus 1911 and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's always versus. But the first time I've actually seen somebody, like, in the gun community, and where is the link? I don't know. Here it is. Somebody who's, like, kind of like a gun guy say, you don't need more than 5 or 6 rounds, so carry a revolver for concealed carry.
And I thought that was, like, it's not that you don't need it. It's that statistically.
Right.
Playing the statistics.
Right.
That it's borne out that there is very rarely
requires.
Well, statistically speaking, you'll never have to use it. But if you do, 3 or 4 shots and it's over for like 99.999% of the time.
And there's a pretty strong case to be made that you should be able to effectively place the rounds that you have at your disposal.
Right.
And okay, you know, then there's that is a fair comment.
Well, my first thought was, ugh, double action. Ugh. And then I thought, okay, so for one thing, with a revolver, you're not going to have Glock leg.
True.
It used to be in the old days, especially with small revolvers, people would just stick them in their pocket and not even bother with a holster. Because revolvers, are sort of like intrinsically safe, because the trigger, nothing's going to pull the trigger and the gun won't fire.
Very heavy.
Unless the hammer falls. So, and then I was thinking, you know how you have that like adrenaline response, the stress response of things, and your fine motor control goes away?
Mm-hmm.
When you're, pulling a gun to shoot somebody, maybe having a hair trigger, not such a good
right.
idea. And when you don't have fine motor control and the most you can do is like Hulk smash, having a nice, 4-5 pound, 6 pound double action trigger pull. Not such a bad idea. I don't know. I've never carried revolvers. I've only ever carried, pistols, but.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I just thought it was really interesting because, the trend lately has been all tactical and you got to have the plastic fantastic Glock and multiple magazines on your person and all the bat belt full stuff and,
Are we what? Due for a hipster retro backlash?
Maybe.
Against
maybe.
The Wonder Nines? Maybe we're going to start carrying our,
right.
5 and 6 shot pearl handle revolvers. And
Yeah. And also they were talking about, this guy was talking in the Sheriff Jim Wilson. And it's a
And what
article
magazine
from,
was that in?
Just a little thing called Shooting Illustrated. Yeah.
Jay
might be familiar with it.
I've heard of it.
You've heard of it. But I thought it was interesting. He also talked about how revolvers are more reliable than automatics. Because usually, you don't get the jams and you don't get the thing and you don't have to worry about the magazine. You just have the revolver and you pull the trigger and the thing spins and bingo bango, I just thought that was an interesting point.
And if you have a misfire, it's easy
to just pull the trigger again.
Yeah.
So I do know that Mike carries a revolver. He's a revolver guy. But when he does carry, he very frequently carries reloads. So that's also kind of in the middle there of, carrying a spare magazine. And what he usually carries is a speed strip. The little
thing. I'm not that you can see it, but.
You're nodding.
I'm nodding. You can't see me nodding. I'm nodding.
And I'm wondering what are your thoughts? I mean, I know you both carry, I know Alan carries an automatic, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Jake? Alan carries a 1911 because, by God, Texas.
I frequently carry a 1911. I guess my most common is that compact M&P.
M&P, yeah.
Because that's usually my concealed. When I carry open, it's usually a 1911 of some sort.
Your barbecue gun.
Yeah, I only have two revolvers.
Oh, Alan, you sweet summer child.
Yeah, I have a Ruger Blackhawk with an 8-inch barrel in 45 long Colt, which really was the.
Do you have a 10-gallon hat, Alan?
No, but that was the gun I take if I go hunting or something like that, because I can put those those buffalo boar bullets in it, and that it's like my, you know, my pistol for that sort of thing. But I also recently got a
In a pinch, you can pole vault with it.
That's right. I recently got a Colt Python, which, you know.
Yeah, I hate you.
Which is now my other barbecue gun. But it's not really concealed. You know, it's not really a, you know.
Why would you want to?
Yeah, it's definitely an open carry gun. So
put on your fancy shirt.
Yeah.
Open carry. Yeah.
The Colt Python is like the CrossFit of revolvers. You want everyone to know that you have a
Python. Exactly. If I'm carrying that that
the Python, CrossFit is vegan. Yeah, that's what it is.
I want everybody to know it. And not only that, but I had Dennis make me a Python skin holster to put my Python in.
So. Yo, dog, I heard you like Python. Your Python.
So I carry my Python in a Python. But you know, I don't know. I guess, you know, one of those little lightweight five, and they make revolver. They've got, I'm very intrigued with the new Smith & Wesson 10 millimeter.
The 610.
Yeah, the 10 millimeter revolver.
Yeah, I mean, that's was it an L frame, I think?
Yeah, I think it is. But I'm, because, you know, you can use 40 Smith & Wesson in it, and, you know.
You can, and 10 millimeter gets pretty damn stout.
Yeah.
You can take hogs with 10 millimeter.
It's almost up to the 357 Magnum standards.
Almost. I have quite a few revolvers.
I bet.
I have a lot. But, you know, I actually don't carry them all that often. Because if I need something small,
that's the
point. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with one of the 380s. I've got a Smith & Wesson Bodyguard that holds 7 rounds, you know, six in the magazine, 1 in the chamber, and it fits in a back pocket, and you don't even know it's there. And yes, 380s not as powerful as 38 Special, yes, but once you've gone below 357 Magnum / 9mm plus P, it's You've accepted that I'm not carrying the most effective thing possible, but you've also done that you're not carrying a rifle. So,
right,
as a wise man once said, all handgun calibers suck.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I defy anybody to stand there and go, oh, you're pointing that little tiny gun at me and you're going to pull the trigger and shoot me. So I'm just going to stand here and take it because, you know, fuck you. When the gun comes out and starts firing bullets, whoever you're shooting at is going to duck and run because they're human and that's what humans do.
Right.
And if they're not phased by a 380, they're probably not going to be phased by a 9mm or a 45 for that matter.
Right. Or you're just a really bad shot in general and it doesn't matter what you carry.
Doesn't matter what you're carrying if you miss. Right. So,
but still, you know, pulling a gun out. And I don't care what kind of gun it is. You know, you know. I watch a lot of these. There's some thunder. I watch a lot of these. You see them all the time. These store video cameras of like robberies and stuff. Where you know, homie comes walking in with his baggy pants and pulls out his gun, and the guy behind the counter pulls out his gun, and ain't nobody comparing what size bullets there are.
You're not looking at it going, hey, you know what? That's only a 32. Right. That's a small.
Nobody cares. When the guy behind the counter pulls his gat out and starts shooting, the guy runs away. And that's what he always does.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. You know, Mike and I have been watching a show. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called Night Watch. And it's like a real, it's like a real, I don't know, reality show, except it's not like a reality show. It's not like, you know, they're having a contest. It's the camera crew follows around first responders who work in New Orleans from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. So the overnight shift in New Orleans. And it's pretty incredible.
I bet that's a freak show.
It is a freak show, but it's also very, because you always think like, oh, you get shot and you know, or you get stabbed or, you know, and you're out. But no, you're not usually.
Yeah.
You're not down for the count. I mean, there are people who got stabbed in the head and they're still walking around talking and laughing.
Right. With the knife sticking out of their head.
And there's people I've seen that like got shot and, you know, multiple gunshot wounds and they're still like up and mobile and talking and conscious.
Walking to the ER.
Yeah. And then there's like the guy who gets shot once in the groin and hits the femoral artery and he's done. So it's like, so the show is really like educational from that sort of standpoint where, you know, in the movies, like John Wick turns around, and he shoots the guy once and the guy falls down.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't happen that way.
Because pretty much everything we know about guns and gunshots is from Hollywood. And if you look at Hollywood, they get literally everything wrong.
Right. Right.
No matter what it is, if it's guns, if it's cars, if it's electronics, if it's hack. How many times have you seen, you know, it was a staple of the 90s where you'd have a hacker who'd unroll his keyboard and hack in through the VPN. And no, that's not how it happens. Usually it's like, hey, this is Jim in IT. What's your password again? And oh, thanks.
Right.
It's totally not this cloak and dagger stuff. It's that people are morons.
Right.
You don't have to.
Right.
When people are stupid. And you know, they create the fictional world because, let's face it, the regular world is boring. The reason we watch movies and TV shows is to watch not boring stuff. We don't want to watch my life. I don't want to watch some dude go.
I don't know, Jay. Your life is.
Well, I realized where I was going with that. But,
okay. You know, nobody wants to watch my life at the library.
Oh, I don't know. I still think there's a good sitcom in that library there.
That's true. It would be a good sitcom.
So here's the thing, though. Everybody else's life looks interesting to somebody else. And I think that's why we watch a lot of this TV and stuff. Even, you know, that's why there's such a huge market for the, you know, the reality shows and the soap operas and all that kind of stuff. Because people like watching other people do shit. That's not their set. But like Jay said, we watch it for escapism. We don't want to watch. We don't want real stuff is frequently boring and slow. And TV cuts all that out and just shows you the exciting parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, you cut to one of my favorite tropes. Dirty Harry carries a 6-inch barrel 44 Magnum revolver. And yet it disappears into his coat. Do you know why? Because as soon as the scene is over, he hands it to the prop guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Carrying
48-ounce revolver.
Yeah. Any TV or shoot movie show, if you don't see the gun, the guy's not carrying it. I guarantee it, because he did just not.
You know, it's that Dirty Harry can carry a 44 Magnum. No, he doesn't. No,
he doesn't. Exactly right.
No character.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and so they get literally everything wrong. So it's when you think, you know, oh well, you just shoot the bad guy and they go down. It's, well, sometimes, yeah, you know, sometimes they go into shock and don't move. Sometimes they don't even know, and they will continue doing whatever it is they were doing.
Well, I think somebody, you know, there's been so much written on this, you know, whole, you know, self-defense and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you're using deadly force, but it, you know, your intent may, you know, your intent for self-defense, your intent has to be, you know, your, you know, for legal reasons, your intent has to be to, you know,
you are
to kill
always
because you're
are
using always, deadly force.
You're always stopping the threat.
Right, but stopping the threat is we don't in the U.S. in the current legal system in the U.S. the only option we have for self-defense is deadly force, because anything else,
where are our phasers, damn it? Oh, I know where phasers are. Yeah. You know, the Star Trek, you zap them and they're completely unconscious, there's no ill effects,
right?
Why those? And then I realized why we don't have them, because I would absolutely abuse the shit out of them.
Such
a stun. The dude cut me off in traffic. You just pull up next to him and like, hey, well, you went it out. Zap!
Well, it would also be the perfect, you know, weapon for criminals. You know, they could just zap somebody and then rob them and be and not have to worry about it. So, but you know, the, but the, you know, so your intent, you know, in using deadly force is to stop the attack. And frequently that involves, you know, killing the other person or the other animal or whatever it is that's attacking you. But it frequently, it so often doesn't. I mean, if you look at the, you know, if you look at the gunshot wounds, even in war, where, yeah, you know, you're using all this massive firepower and, you know, most people don't die. Yeah. You know, even guys that get blown up, most people don't die.
We are seemingly resilient.
Even, you know, like you go back and look at ancient wars, you know, people would die, but they would die. They would more often die from like cholera.
Or
some infection or something like that. Actually dying from a, you know, getting gunshot or run through with a sword or something almost never happened because, you know, it's really hard to kill people. You know, and at the same time, it's really easy depending on, you know, where you hit.
Yeah.
So
that one femoral artery.
Yeah. You know, so it goes back to the whole, you know, if you, you know, it doesn't really matter what kind of gun you're carrying as long as you're carrying something. And, you know, if you've got five or six shots, that's probably enough because you're going to point it at whoever's doing something. You're going to pull the trigger and go, you know, bang, bang, bang. And they're going to go, holy shit, and run away. Even if they don't get hit, they're going to go, they're going to run away, you know, unless they're, you know, crazy high on drugs or something. And then you're screwed anyway. So, you know, but it gives you, you know, it gives you Chan time to disengage as well. I mean, that's the flip side of the story, right?
So right. You're, that you is
know,
true.
If you know, you make the other guy duck, you can run away. So
the likelihood of you being in like a gunfight where you have to like change magazines multiple times and like all that stuff, like pretty low, you know, just go in the grocery store.
Right.
You know, you don't need to bring four spare mags.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, unless, you know, it happens to cops, but then they're going after.
Right.
Their job is to seek out the bad people.
Right. And that's my job's to like run away from those people.
That's right. That's the reason I do cardio. Because my plan is, if I'm by myself, is to run like a scared rabbit.
Right.
That is my, that's nope. Bye. I belong, firmly belong to the feet don't fail me now jitsu. That's
one of the reasons I have a problem with this whole like sheepdog culture and the you run across in the whole gun thing where it's like, oh yes, I'm going to defend other people. I'm like, no.
Nope. You're on your own, motherfucker.
Yeah. I may carry a gun, but that's to defend me because, I mean, you know, you get all, I mean, think about all the legal problems, you know, say you're walking through the mall and all of a sudden you see two guys shooting each other. What are you going to do?
Run.
Well, yeah, but you're not gonna pull your gun out and start shooting one. How do you know who to shoot? You don't know who.
Right.
You don't know who the, you know, it could be two gangbangers trying to shoot each other. It could be somebody getting attacked. You don't know. So, you know.
Mind your business.
Yeah, run away.
On. Good shoes, Nikes.
Yeah.
So we're at the end of the hour.
No, we're not.
We are. Well, I just wanted to mention that this Tuesday coming up, I have my AR class.
I was going to ask you about that.
And I'm totally excited and totally nervous about it. I think it's 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. I took a half day off work even to do this. So I don't know what I'm going to learn. No idea. Like part of the first part is all classroom stuff. Doing stuff in the classroom. And then the second part is at the range. So.
Well, probably.
I'll report back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm so curious.
Yeah. So.
Well, you know, they'll go over the parts and pieces and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's time, you know. Yeah. And we joined that range. So now I'll have at least 300 yards to be able to shoot it. And, you know, this should be fun.
300 yards is a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's just enough distance to be challenging, but not so far that you've got to set up like, you know, a supercomputer to calculate everything.
Right. Yeah, I'm just hoping for a good scope. Play it by ear.
I have thoughts. So I'm just saying.
I know. Yeah, that's the problem. Going over your thoughts.
You talk about arguments about, you know, 9mm versus 45. The scope the scope wars make those look like tiddlywinks, you know.
It's oh, and get into you know, bullet weight and twist rates and oh god.
Well, maybe that'll be like, you know, my second class or something. I think just the first class is going to be like taking it apart, putting it back together, how to shoot it, what's the trigger, you know, that sort of stuff, which is good because I have no idea.
It'll be fun.
I'm wondering if I'm going to be the only woman there.
You'll find out.
We'll see.
Report back.
You're almost the librarian there.
Those chances are good. Oh my gosh. We have a new children's librarian, and she was just talking the other day about how she wanted to get a gun and learn how to shoot.
Well.
I was like, yay! Awesome. So,
did you recommend a snub-nosed revolver?
I did not.
A pink one.
I did not. I just say, you know, you can come to the range with me. I'll, you know, we'll go shooting. That's cool. But she was kind of like one of those people where she felt like she had to be like trained and licensed and all this stuff to be like shooting a gun.
Oh yeah. There's a lot. No, of that.
Not really.
From Texas.
Stick them with the pointy end.
That's right.
Cause every gun should have a bayonet on it.
To quote Arya Stark. Yeah. Stick them with the pointy end.
All right. Well, that's another fine hour of quality score reporting.
Hey, yes.
Tune
in next week.
The references. Yes. Brita's AAR on her AR. I'm very excited.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Now, if you were taking it in Arkansas, that's the only way it would be better.
Oh, boy.
Because it'd be an AAR.
This is, you know what the serial number is on this rifle, right?
I do.
J.
SQRPT-001. Right.
It's my rifle.
That's awesome.
That was.
I kind of think I need like magazines with the logo. They do that now. They print on magazines now.
You can have it laser etched.
I have Shooting Illustrated branded magazines.
See, that would be so cool.
You could have the squirrel logo.
I would like the squirrel from the squirrel T-shirt where it has. Or the rifle with the squirrel bayonet. That's what I want on the magazine.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be cool.
I could carve it for you, but it wouldn't look very good.
I'm sure there's a way to do it.
Looks like a hyperactive ape did this with a sharpened banana.
Yeah, you could.
Just get a Sharpie marker, trace it on there. Good enough.
Yep.
It's just spray paint. Done. There we go.
All right.
Well, it is cat food time, guys. That's so,
right. All right, folks. AR.
I'll try to get the show uploaded before I lose power. So,
okay. Good luck.
I've got a generator, so it's not like I'll be like.
All right. Don't get struck by lightning, Alan. Don't drown either.
I'll try not to. Thanks. And okay. We'll be back.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.